if any, subhanAllah, I can't look even at the screen with these blaring. SubhanAllah. It is really no complaint. It's nearly no complaint, but this is a real fact. It really hurts the eyes. And the Prophet ﷺ said there is no harm and there is no reciprocating of harm. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the points of benefit regarding Hajj, and inshallah what we will focus upon in this discussion is the movement from Muzdalifah to Mina. And this occurs on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. Now, as to the staying in Mina, the matter revolves between being a rukun, a pillar, and a wajib. And the medium and correct opinion is that it is a wajib, it is an obligation, where it is to be expiated by slaughtering an animal if the person does not stay the night at Muzdalifah. And we discussed the situations of moving from Muzdalifah for the week after the middle of the night, and also concerning the situations of strong who may have weak company with them. So this was in the previous class. There is no need now to look at it again or to discuss again. So the person, number one, who does not stay in Muzdalifah, then there is an expiation upon him slaughtering an animal. Second situation, if he stays at Muzdalifah but moves from Muzdalifah before the middle of the night and does not return to Muzdalifah, then also he has to expiate the same. Then he also has to expiate the same. If he does not stay in Muzdalifah, first thing, there is an expiation upon him. The second situation, if he stays at Muzdalifah but moves from it before the middle of the night and does not return during the night, also he must expiate the same. The third situation, he stays at Muzdalifah but then moves from it before the middle of the night and returns to it before Fajr. Before dawn break, then there is nothing upon him. He stays at Muzdalifah but then moves from it before the middle of the night and returns to it before Fajr, then there is nothing upon him. The fourth situation, stays at Muzdalifah and moves from it before the middle of the night and then returns after daybreak, after Fajr. If he was able to catch the Salah in its time, Salatul Fajr, then there is nothing upon him. Stays at Muzdalifah and moves from it before the middle of the night, then returns after Fajr, And if he was able to catch the Salat al-Fajr in its time, then there is nothing upon him. However, if he could not catch the Salah in its time, then he expiates blood. He expiates by slaughtering an animal. The fifth situation. So, if he could not catch the Salah in its time, then he expiates by slaughtering an animal. Now, the fifth situation, if he was prevented from reaching Muzdalifah, such that he could not reach until after Fajr, and Salah time had already ended, or he arrives after sunrise, then in this case he stays some time, then moves ahead to Mina. This is like the person who misses the Salah due to a legal excuse, then he makes it up. So, the preponderating opinion in this case is that there is no expiation upon him if he is prevented from reaching Mina. Because he, in this case, left staying at Mina because of his incapability. It wasn't due to negligence. So these are the situations with respect to staying at Muzdalifah. Then the pilgrim moves before sunrise. Remember the exceptions with respect to the weak and the elderly. They may move in the latter third of the night or after the middle of the night. But we are talking now about the general. So the pilgrim, the Hajj, moves to Mina. He moves to Mina before sunrise, because staying in Muzdalif until the sun rises, if he takes this stay as a matter of worship, then this would be a resemblance to the mushriks, because the mushriks used to move out from Muzdalifah after sunrise. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam opposed them. So he moved before sunrise. So the pilgrim moves in tranquility until he reaches the valley of Muhassir, which is a valley between Mina and Muzdalifah. Then he hastens. It is said that the reason for hastening is that this place is a place of punishment in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed the people of the elephant who came to destroy the Kaaba. and therefore the person should move quickly, because it is legal if the person passes by a place of punishment to hasten his steps, as the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام did when he passed by the homes of Thamud in the expedition of Tabuk. And he صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا تدخلوا على هؤلاء المعذبين إلا أن تكونوا باكين أن يصيبكم ما أصابهم. Don't enter the homes of those who were unjust to themselves unless you enter weeping, lest you should suffer the same punishment as was inflicted upon them. So there is a great danger here if the person enters the homes of these of those who were unjust to themselves. If he enters, then his heart may be hardened by seeing the place, and the remains of punishment, and therefore he may be inflicted but what by that which inflicted them, from belying and turning away. This is the meaning of the hadith. It does not mean that you will be inflicted by the physical punishment which touched them, because it may mean the intangible punishment where a person's heart may be hardened and therefore end up belying. The news of revelation and the commands. However, this being a reason saying that this is the place where the people of the elephant were punished, in this place, in this wadi, in this valley of Muhassar, this is weak. Because the place where they were destroyed, the place where they were destroyed, is known as Al-Mughammas. Is known as Al-Mughammas, which is around the area of Al-Abtah in Mecca, outside the limits of the Haram area of Mecca. It is also said that the Prophet ﷺ intended to oppose the mushriks because they used to stop in this valley and remember the great times of their forefathers. And so the Prophet ﷺ decided to oppose them and move quickly. And it may be that this is the closest reason behind moving or hastening the pace of movement in this valley. Now, the direction is to Mina. Mina. And Mina is a known place. It is called Mina because of the abundant blood shed in the area. Coming from the kathrati ma yumna fiha min ad-dima. This is the origin of its name, Mina. the pilgrim heads to Mina in the direction of Jamratul Aqaba. In the direction of Jamratul Aqaba. And Al-Aqaba means mountain. Aqaba means mountain. And it is called Aqaba because there was a mountain behind it, but this was removed. The intention is to reach this Aqaba and to cast it with pebbles. To cast it with pebbles. With 7 pebbles on the first day of the Eid, on the 10th. As to the pebbles, their size is slightly greater than a chickpea size. Where these, as to from where these should be picked, these should be picked on the way to Mina, not from Muzdalifa. On the way to Mina and in Mina itself. The Prophet ﷺ did not pick them up in Muzdalifa, and he did not command the companions to do so. However, the Tabi'een, the successors to the companions, they used to pick these pebbles from Muzdalifa so that they don't stop on the way to pick them up and delay them in Mina. The Prophet ﷺ casted the Aqaba, Jamratul Aqaba, on the day of the Eid, on the 10th, while he was mounting his camel, where he ordered Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, to pick for him the pebbles on the road from Muhassar, from the Wadi. So he picked for him 7 pebbles. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, turned them in his hand and said, بِمِثْلِ هَذَا فَرْمُوا وَإِيَّاكُمُ الْغُلُوْ فِي الدِّينِ. With the like of these pebbles, cast, meaning the jamara. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوْ فِي الدِّينِ. And be careful and beware not to be excessive in the deen. This is the order of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And this hadith is reported by An-Nasa'i and Ahmad and others, and Ash-Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah authenticated it. The casting of the jimar, plural jamara, is done because, number one, it is the command of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And suffice this to be the hikmah. Suffice this to be the wisdom. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. Take from me your rituals. And he informed alayhi salatu wasalam that this is from the establishment of the remembrance of Allah and from the merits of the casting is what was narrated by Al-Bazzar and authenticated by Sheikh Al-Albani is the saying of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, إذا رميت الجمار كان لك نورا يوم القيامة. When you cast the jimar with pebbles, then this will be a light for you on the day of resurrection. So the first thing the pilgrim should start with upon arrival in Mina is to go to Jamratul Aqaba. To be casted with the pebbles on the day of the Eid, and the rest of the jimar, because in total there are three, they are not to be casted with the pebbles on this day. On this day only, Jamratul Aqaba. Then the next day, he will cast Jamratul Aqaba in addition to the rest of the Jamarat. And similarly, on the third and the fourth of the days of Eid. He casts them ordered. First Jamara, then the middle one, then the Aqaba. This is on from the second day of the Eid. Not on the first day. The first day only Jamrat al-Aqaba. He casts each one with seven pebbles, saying Allahu Akbar with each pebble throw. Saying Allahu Akbar with each pebble throw, meaning Allah is greater. As to what is claimed by some common people that they cast the shaitan, the devil, this is wrong, incorrect. As to the way of casting the pebbles, the pilgrim faces the jamara, leaving Mina to his right and the Kaaba to his left, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did. And Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu casted in the same way, keeping Mecca to his left and Mina to his right. And he, Abdullah bin Mas'ud رضي الله تعالى عنه, said هذا المكان الذي أنزلت عليه سورة البقرة, أي على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is the place where سورة البقرة was revealed upon the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, as in the agreed upon hadith. So this is how the position he should take while casting the pebbles, if possible, because there could be crowds where this may not be possible. If in case there is no possibility, then he can cast it from the place where it will be easier for him. What is most important to remember is that the pebbles should fall in the pool, whether it strikes the post or not. Whether it strikes the post or not. And he should not stay on this day. He should not stay after he casts this jamara. He should not stay to make dua. Rather, he leaves to slaughter the animals, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did. Another thing to remember is that at the beginning, when he reaches the Aqaba and when he is ready to start the casting, he stops the talbiyah. He stops the talbiyah. Stops saying labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Stops the talbiyah. Second thing is that the casting should be successive, one after the other. And if he casts the seven all at once, then it is counted only as once. We'll stop here inshallah ta'ala, and then we'll continue the rest of the Hajj works tomorrow inshallah ta'ala. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.